We're good. All right. Well, some of you don't know that I've been in the Army a little while. Most lieutenants haven't been, but I've been in the Army for about 13 years. During those 13 years, I've seen and heard quite a few military chaplains. And I've heard some really interesting sermons from military chaplains. One of the coolest parts about the chaplains is how they direct their messages towards military people, you know? I've heard sermons on warrior spirits. I've heard sermons on controlling your fear. I've heard sermons on you name it. I've even heard sermons on how many confirmed kills David had. That was a really interesting sermon. But chaplains, they're really good at gearing stuff towards the soldier. So in that theme, you know what we're going to talk about tonight? A love story. Yeah. So, but not just any love story, all right? As my 7-year-old daughter would say, it's a love story. It's not just a love story, all right? We went to the video store once. I asked her what she wanted to watch. She said, I want to watch a love story. So that's... But tonight we're going to talk about a love story. How many of you guys are married? All right. Why'd you get married?
Love.
That's right. That's right. So, when you're in love, can you love without expressing love? Is it possible? Can you do it? What is love without expressing love? I need a volunteer. I need somebody to help me out. You wanna be okay?
Sure.
I want you guys to think about loving him. All right? Doesn't have to be in a weird way. All right. Everybody thinking about loving him? Okay. How are you gonna express it?
We love you, man.
We love you, man, right? I love you. Okay. Think about this. Before you were able to say that, and I told you to think about love, right? What did you have? You had something inside you, something in your heart, something in your mind. You were considering that emotion, that thought, that essence inside you. Am I right? Okay. Before you were able to express that to him, what did you have to do? You had to put a package on that feeling, right? You had to put a package. You had to wrap it up. Am I right?
Yep.
Okay. What I'm going to have you do now, close your eyes. Can't move your hands. Can't do anything, all right? Now you express how you love them. Can't do it, right? Okay, now you can open your eyes. You got still can't move, but you can talk. Tell them you love them.
I want the best for you guys. All the way. I want you to do God's will.
All right. So he packaged it, right? He packaged something that was more than just, I wish the best for you guys. Think about this. If I told you, I've got a dog, what came to your mind? What was the picture in your head?
My dog.
Your dog. What did you guys think? When I said, I've got a dog, I'm gonna bet that as many people are in this room as how many different dogs came to your mind. Am I right?
Yeah.
Okay, so what is dog? The word that I'm saying to you, what is dog? It's a symbol. And it means nothing without the inside thing, the thing that fills that wrapper that sends out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, thanks.
Yep.
So at this point in our love story, mm-hmm. we've got a sort of a concept here that there's an internal thing. There's something deeper than the symbols that we're using, okay? Same thing carries true in a marriage. Everybody got your hand out there? Okay, so you can cheat. So I'm going to draw this out here. In our love story, we're going to start out with God because, well, any good story starts out with God. So, God loved us, okay? But could he show us that he loved us or tell us that he loved us without communication?
No.
If there were no symbols, if he had no way to express it, he couldn't love us, right?
Never know.
So, in the world that we live in, he had to have a way to express his love to us, right? Now, you can cheat on this one. Does anybody know a scripture verse that talks about
God so loved the world, he gave only begotten Son?
That is true. But what was right down here, John 1:1. Somebody want to look that up? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What does Word mean? The symbol that I just threw out, dog, or any other word, does that mean that before time there was a language up in the heavens and out there? Has anybody ever thought about that? Anybody ever considered it? So what is that word that he's talking about? The Logos, what is that? I tell you what, let me give you this. When you express, when you told him you love him, or when you told everyone else that you wish the best for them, what were you doing? What have we been describing with the symbols?
Communication.
And communication was a piece of who you are, that inside thing, that feeling of love or that feeling of well-being for someone else. You took a piece of who you were, not your body, not your blood and bones, but a piece of who you were, and you packaged it in a way that you could send it out in order to be received by someone else. Am I right? Okay. So now, if we come back to John 1:1, using the feeble example of us as human beings in communicating, we start to look at word, and we get beyond the symbols that we know as language now. So now all of a sudden, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Think about love and go back before you put it into a symbol. Into who you are, the essence of who you are as a person. Not the body, but who you are, right? Alright, so now we're coming back to God. And we can think about that in our own lives. But now we got God, the Word, John 1:1. And He wants to express to us how much He loves us. He wants to take a piece of Him and communicate it to us so that it comes in and we can receive that and we can understand that. Right? Is telling someone that you love them the best way to love them? Is that how you usually, when you really want to tell your wife you love them, is that how you do it? Now, how do you do it?
You
show it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, actions speak louder than words. All right, this is me. And you. It can be all of us. Does anybody know this one? But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Okay? Now, if you've been in the church for any amount of time, you've heard this, and you know Christ died for us, and you know He showed His love for us in this, right? And by no means do I want to downplay that, but I want to show you a little bit deeper what that means. Beyond just the Sunday school, Jesus died for me. I want to go a little bit deeper. And when we're talking about Him loving us so much, and He wants to show us beyond just communicating it to us with words, He wants to show us deeper. Imagine this, alright? You are extremely thirsty, right? And I say that because I'm thirsty right now, but you're extremely thirsty. You've never had water before in your life. And we know you need water, okay? How would you guys, what would you tell her to get her to drink water? She's never had water before. And there's water sitting right there.
Probably demonstrated first.
Yeah. Okay, so now, in this scenario here, she needs water. In our lives, we need God. And God wants to give it to us. He wants to give us a piece of Him. So if we imagine that bottle of water over there is more than just a bottle of water, but that's a body of water that is there and can't be moved, right? How are we going to get her to drink water? Well, what you got to do is take something else, right? And that water's got to be poured out. So now all of a sudden, that was cool. Now all of a sudden, is the cup going to do anything for her? No, but you have to have the cup to bring the water over to her, right? Mm-hmm. So if she's really thirsty, and I bring her this cup of water, I've got what she needs, right? But if she's never had water before, she might not want the water, even though it's what she needs.
Put it in a prettier cup.
Put it in a prettier cup? This is the only cup that works. But now, if she realizes it, and she takes this water, and she drinks the water, now she understands what water is. She's had water now, and she knows, right? Mm-hmm. Now she's going to want more water. And now we can use words to describe what that water is. What she couldn't understand before she drank the water, now she can understand. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to drink that. That's what we've got in Romans 5:8. So when God wanted to love us, He had to create, along with everything else He created, a way to communicate that with us, which He did. Okay? But now you've got all throughout the Old Testament, Israel, they've got the law, but they don't understand, right? They keep messing up over and over and over and over again. So they've got the Word, and He gave them the Word. And even Christ said He didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. The law was there, right? But now all of a sudden you've got Romans 5:8, and He brought a glass of water so we could understand, we could taste the water, and now understand more what we've got up here, right? So this right here, this is, man, that's a complete love story right there. Think about your wife and how you communicate with your wife, okay? Everybody thinking about it? God wanted to share a piece of Him with us. When we communicate with others, that's what we're doing. Right? Now, I'm not going to ask you. Think in your head, have you ever seen a marriage that has two people that don't necessarily get along all that well?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. See why I didn't ask to raise your hand? Think about that though. Go beyond just a marriage. Have you ever had any relationship you just didn't get along with someone else? Okay. There's lots of reasons why. But a major reason of friction in relationships is communication. Am I right? Think about this model. Communication, taking a piece of who you are with the intent of packaging it in a way for the other soul, the other person, to receive the piece of you and mesh them up, right? But now the symbol isn't always necessarily the right symbol. We don't always have adequate means. So all of a sudden, a piece of who you are, you're trusting the other person and giving a piece of who you are to someone else. And if it's not received well, it becomes friction. Because that's a piece of who you are. You're communicating with somebody else. Now, pull that into a marriage relationship where the intimacy is even increased more. If you can't communicate, that's a piece of who you are. You're going to start pulling back because it hurts. You're risking a lot when you pour a piece of you out. Right? Marriages, you can be married and have a horrible relationship, but you become married legally only. Right? I mean, you got the piece of paper, you're bonded together for life, you're stuck there. In some cases, it is stuck. But marriage can be a beautiful thing. It doesn't have to be stuck in a relationship. But when you don't communicate, you become stuck. And it's by title only. again. God sharing a piece of Him with us. We don't have to accept that, right? First of all, that's extremely rude when someone tries to talk to you and you don't accept it. But secondly, when God talks to us, if we don't listen, that's not the way He intended it to be. Besides being rude, it's not how He made us to be. Right? Okay. Now, husband and wives, they listen to each other and they talk with each other. Even if they've got a bad relationship, they might yell at each other. But it's not always a full listening and communicating. And we can do the same thing. We may say, yeah, God, you know what? I agree with John 1:1. And hey, thanks a lot for Romans 5:8. That was really great of you. I appreciate it. But you know what? I'm going to really limit what I let in. But hey, thanks about everything else. I'll listen to you a little bit. Right. That's not how God created us. God created us to be open so He could share the essence of who He is, to be filling us day in and day out. Okay? But now, once He fills us up, He calls us to do more than that, right? What does He call us to do? It's on your sheet there. Pray and fellowship. Check this out. He calls us to pray, but why?
That's the way of actually talking to Him.
It's the way of actually talking to Him. John 15:7 says, "If you remain in Me and My word remains in you, ask whatever you wish and it'll be given to you." There's two parts there. If you remain in Me, right? Mm-hmm. And My word remains in you. My word remains in you. So when we are filled going down, prayer comes out of it. You see what I'm saying? So when we just kind of say, all right, thanks God. Thanks for the word. Thanks for Romans 5:8. I'm going to pray every so often, probably when I need something, maybe when I remember. And I'm going to do it on my own. That's not what He's calling us to do. He says, when you remain in Me and My word remains in you, prayer is meant to be an outflow. And just as God put an essence of who He is into the symbol, into the vehicle to move and transport a piece of Himself, so are we to do back to Him. When we pray, we take a piece of who we are. It's not just some magic words that we say. It's taking a piece of who we are. It's pouring out our heart, our soul, our essence back to our Father. And we simply use words because that's what we use as people. But we can pray in our soul, and He calls us to pray in our soul as well. But even still, it's taking an essence, a piece of who we are, and pouring that out. And it comes right back up here. Comes right back up to the Father. Because we're pouring right back to Him. Now you said fellowship. John 13:34-35. Jesus says, "A new command I give you, to love one another. As I have loved you, so you are to love one another. By this all men will know that you are My disciples." Love one another. Again. The essence of who we are. Our heart and our soul. It's not about this world here. It's about who we are in our heart and soul. We put into symbols, into words, or into actions that are meant to pour out our hearts in love to other people. Fellowship breaks down two groups, believers, non-believers, right? Believers, we call it fellowship. Non-believers, we call it outreach, evangelism. But John 13:34-35 says to love one another. We're supposed to love both groups. Now there's a deeper story that goes into fellowship and the difference between fellowship and evangelism. But the point is, we're called to to love one another. We're called to pour our heart and soul out to other people. That's what God did for us, and that's what we're called to do with other people. And in fact, he says, that's how they will know we are his disciples. If we don't do it, then we're not showing ourselves to be disciples. You see that? When we do that, he says, we'll show ourselves to be his disciples, which means that that is coming right back up to him. Somebody grab Isaiah 55:11. Does anybody have it? All right, somebody want to read it?
So shall my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire, without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it.
God says that he sends his word out, and it won't come back empty. He sends it out for a reason, and it's going to accomplish what he sends it out for. Right? So when we look at this, when he sent his word out to us, it was meant to bring us back and to him. He made us to be in him, to love him. He made us to be in relationship. And he made communication to be able to bring us back into him. Verbal actions, Christ dying on the cross, it was meant to bring us back into the Father. John 14:15. Somebody want to, you guys want to grab that?
If you love me, you will obey what I command.
If you love me, you will obey what I command. Am I the only one that just kind of hits right in the face and is like, whoa? So, logically, correct me if I'm wrong, but logically, if you love me, you'll obey my commands. You can take the reverse of that. If you don't obey my commands, you don't love me.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Huh. Wow. That's, the creator of the universe, to love us so much, to come down and want to give us a piece of him, a piece of who he is, because he loves us, for us to just nonchalantly not accept that. Or, let's go one step further. Christians that do accept that, partially, or even accept that, yeah, it's all good, but you know what? I'm going to do what I want to do. What a slap in the face of the creator of the universe, because he says, if you don't do what I say, you don't love me. But yet, look at all the trouble I went through to show you that I love you, to give you the power, but you're going to slap me in the face. You're not going to do what I say, or better yet, you're not going to read my word. When I took my actions and put symbols around them and put them in a book called the Bible so that you could have it, you're not going to read it? I gave it for you. But how many Christians go through life? I'll check that out on Sunday. All of a sudden we come back again. Do you not love me? How about we bring it home? Your wife or your intimate other or someone sends you a letter and you just throw it to the side. And then you talk to your wife and she says, did you get the letter and the love note that I wrote you? And you say, I threw it to the side. I didn't have time. Or let's reverse it. You poured out your heart in a love letter and sent it home and she threw it to the side. When you write a love letter, you're pouring out your heart and soul, man. for someone to take it and throw it to the side and show they could care less about that letter? Ouch. That stings. It stings for us, right? But it's okay to do it to God. Let me throw His letter away. Because, I mean, He shed blood to write that letter. But what we've got here, what we're looking at, Romans 5:1 talks about justification by faith. It says you've been justified by faith. What does that mean? Justified by faith. What that means, think about justification. What does justified mean? It means you're not in trouble, right? You're justified. You did right. Okay? Justified by faith means when God sent His Word, we take it, accept it, and obey it, and it comes back to Him. That's faith. We believe in Him so much that we are willing to do what He says. We are now justified by our faith. Not our deeds. We're not saved by works. We're saved by faith, which produces works. It's kind of a catch-22, but not really. We only do because we love. We don't do to get. So we come up here. Romans 5:1. And I've never asked, and I'm just kind of assuming that most everybody, I've seen everybody in here before, most everybody's already Christian. Everybody's come to this point. Everybody, you know, raised their hand already. Yes, I am a Christian. So what I'm talking about isn't, hey, you need to come be a Christian. It's not what I'm talking about. We're there. Okay? And if we're not, I really appreciate it if you talk to me afterwards. We'll talk about what it means to be a Christian. But what we're talking about now is beyond just being a Christian. We're there. Okay? What we're talking about is, wow, Lord, I accepted You, but maybe I haven't fully accepted You. Maybe I've treated You wrong. We've gotten married, Lord, and I want it to be more than just in title alone. I want to have a good relationship with You, Lord. I want to love You. I want You to love me, and I know You do. I don't want to live the rest of my life arguing and bickering with my wife. I want to live in love. I want us to be lovers. I want to be passionate for You. That's what we're talking about tonight. And the point, and the way we do that, and what we're talking about, stems from right here. The reason why people will look at these things down here and what we do, but you know what, folks? We don't have to look at that. When we do this, this automatically flows out of the love we've got. So what we're talking about tonight is our passionate quiet time. What we talked about before we started, hey, has anybody read anything in the Word today? You know, that's what we're talking about. Man, the Lord blessed me in my quiet time today. And I was telling Him about it this morning. Oh my goodness. I'm just sitting there alone, getting in His Word, and He speaks day in and day out. So my challenge, this is love story. Like I told you, this is a love story. This is love story part one, as you can see on there. This is God pursuing us, the lover of our souls pursuing us. Love story part one. And what comes out of that is simply an interest on our part. When you pursued your wife, or when your wife pursued you, or when you pursued a past lover, if they showed no interest, did you continue to pursue them? No, the thing that drove you was that they received your pursuing. So what we're talking about tonight is this, my friends. And this is going to take us into next week. But my challenge is, this week, don't just read the Bible. As in, hey, let me check my block for my read my Bible in 1 year. That's good. But what I'm talking about is, hey, this book contains my God. This book is the creator of the universe. I'm not talking about making an image or a graven image or an idol. But I'm talking about the things inside this paper that go beyond just these words. This is my God. And He loves me. And He's pursued me. And you know what? I'm going to get in this book, not to read a certain number of chapters or verses, but I'm going to get in this book to find my lover because he's pursued me and I want to accept that.
Yeah. That's real.
Yeah. So, my friends, we're going to come back to a love story part two next week. But from now until next week, I want you to think about this. I'm not going to ask anybody to commit to this because you know what? It doesn't matter if you raise your hand in here or not. You know what does matter? Meeting your Father. Yeah. So I've got a song that I want to finish with. And what I want you to do is consider my challenge. And if you want to accept it, make a commitment with you and the Lord. Make the commitment to get in the Word every day. Every day out of love. If you make that commitment, just let somebody know. Make it official. You remember the first time you fell in love and you told somebody about it? It's a pretty big deal when you told somebody about it, wasn't it? Yeah. So if you make that commitment between you and the Lord, just tell somebody. It doesn't matter who it is. Just tell somebody. I just introduced you guys to the lover of your souls, who relentlessly is seeking you out for a passionate love relationship. Just like in high school, when you finally get introduced to the one that loves you, now you just accept them, right? Start to meet with them. Let them continue to pursue you. Let him woo you. Let him make you fall in love with him. So again, my challenge is just meet him to love him each day this week. Let's pray. Father God, we love you so much, Lord. Lord, we just humbly ask you right now, Lord, as the lover of our souls, to make us fall in love with you. Grab us more and more each day, Lord. Pull us closer to you, Lord. Give us a passion for you, that you are all we seek after, Lord. That any free minute of any day, you are what we think of, Lord. That you are who we want. Pull us into your presence, Lord. Allow us to just sit at your feet and love you. Father, continue to pursue us. We thank you so much for loving us, Lord, and for pursuing us. Father, we just ask that you would bless us this week, that you would speak to us through our quiet times, that you would keep us safe, that you would bring us back together next week. We love you so much, and it's in your Son's name. Amen. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
I can erase this, you guys have it. Thanks for coming.
It's smarter than you look, man.
Pretty much had to be.
I spilled the water though.